When my eldest son, or our eldest son, was about four, Caleb would help Shona put away the dishes, wash them, dry them, and put them in the cupboards. Then one day, Shona was watching him put away an item in the bottom shelf of the cupboard, and he got down, put it on the edge of the shelf, and then lifted his foot and slid it in. And Shona was like, "That's not right." She was about to tell him off when she realized that he was only imitating her. Because it's down the bottom, it's too hard to be burning down, so she would put it there and just slide it in with her foot. And Caleb, as children are natural mimics, just copied her. They are great imitators. Children are great imitators, but unfortunately, they pick up our bad habits far faster than they pick up our good ones. And in this passage, in my version of the NIV, it says, be imitators, not the same as what we read, but that's what it's calling us to do. We're to be imitators of God the Father. And unlike our earthly fathers, our Heavenly Father has no bad habits for us to imitate. Our imitation of him is of his holiness and of his goodness. So how do we imitate God? Well, the command here is to imitate him by living a life of love, by being a fragrant offering. There are many weird and wonderful interpretations of love in our society. There's the idea of romantic love that you need to base your life upon, that this is what will give you the best out of life. It's the idea that's behind the man who says, "But don't I have the right to be happy?" as he runs off with a younger woman. You know, there's the idea that to live a life of love means you never say anything negative to others. You never criticize them. You never tell them that they're wrong. In other words, if a child says to you, "Look, there goes the blue fire engine," the loving thing is to say, "Yes, you're right." It's not loving to tell them that, "No, it's a red fire engine." That's the world's idea of love. The idea of love is for us, society's idea of Christian living in love is for us to be tolerant of everyone and everything. For us to never mention anything negative. But that's not God's way. I mean, from verse 3 to 7, he lays out some things that he will not tolerate. The Apostle Paul gives the Lord Jesus as our example. Jesus lived a life of love. He loved us so much. He loved us enough to live a perfect life. He loved God and he loves us enough to die as our sacrifice, as our replacement. And his sacrifice is a fragrant offering up to God. His sacrifice was acceptable to our Father. That's what the resurrection is all about. The resurrection is all about reminding us that Jesus' sacrifice was good enough, or better than good enough. It was the perfect offering of love. So how are you to live as a fragrant offering to God? You know, when you're young, and I know many of you are younger than me. When you're young, as a Christian, you might dream of doing something really great for God. Becoming a great evangelist, or becoming somebody who stops world wars or whatever. Doing something great with your life. Fulfilling with your life. But it's not necessarily by doing that. Living as a fragrant offering of God is simply by living each day, obeying the two great commandments, loving God and loving your neighbor. And they can seem boring, and they can seem quiet, but that is the least that we can do. That's what we're called to do. And when I say that's the least we can do, it's also the hardest thing to do. It's actually quite easy, much easier to sacrifice, is do a great sacrifice than it is to do a daily one. Look at Jesus' life and death. See how he showed love towards his enemies while on the cross. This is our example. Look where that love led him to. A sacrificial death on our behalf. This self-giving love must be your way and my way of living. Your way and my way of walking. Each day is to be a sacrificial offering to God. Just as pagans give themselves over to sensual things, Jesus gave himself as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. And you and I are to give ourselves over to love. A friend of mine described this kind of love as doing my best for you to do your best. And sometimes that love means that we have to say, well, I think what you're doing is a bit dodgy. You think you need to think that through? That's not being critical. It's trying to admonish them to thinking Christ's thoughts in Christ's way. You and I to imitate God by walking in love, and the acts that result will ascend as a pleasing aroma to God. Earlier in this book, in chapter 2, in verse 10, we're told that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prepared for us in advance. And those good works aren't always showy. They aren't always looking important. Those good works are simply serving, getting somebody else a cup of coffee at the end of the service. Speaking to somebody. They're often quite very simple things. If you live a life focused by this kind of love, then your life will be a fragrant offering to God. The question is, do you spread the fragrance of life everywhere you go? Because that's what our Lord did. He spread the fragrance of life everywhere he went. And we're called to imitate him. Verses 3 to 7 list for us a bunch of things that we as sinners find attractive to some degree. Our society encourages us to not just think about these things, but to dwell on them as well. Almost every ad on the TV, on the radio, in magazines, newspapers, billboards, just about all of them use sex to sell their product. Some of it is in your face and some of it is very subtle, but it's still there. And just about everywhere you turn. We're encouraged daily to be greedy, to desire things that are not necessary. Back in the 50s, there was a multinational company that set up shop in Central America. And they had trouble getting workers because the workers would come, they'd work for 2 weeks, and then they'd leave. They'd quit. And they'd have to find more workers to change over. And the reason why they quit was because after 2 weeks, they had earned enough money to support their family for the whole year. They didn't need any more. And so they left. So the company devised a plan. What they did was to start giving out mail order catalogues to the workers and showing them all the wonderful things that they could buy if they only worked a little harder. The result? Well, the workers had to keep working because their greed had enslaved them. They became the slaves. He was working for things they really didn't need, but what they wanted. You know, when we choose to sin, you know what we're actually doing? When we go, yeah, I'm going to do this. I know it's not quite not right, but I want to do this. When we do that, what we're doing is simply saying, God, I'd rather hate you right now than give up the sin that I want to do. That's how serious it is. We're saying to God, we don't want him. We want this, whatever this is. And there's a fair amount of them described before us. When we choose to be disobedient to God, then we're telling him we don't love him. We tell him, well, at least we don't want to love him at this moment. We don't want him to throw us away. We just want to have him here and there, every now and then. It's a bit like in building sometimes. There's a little red box with a glass that says, in case of emergency, break glass. That's where we want to put God. We don't want him controlling our lives all the time. We just want to have a safety net of having him. But if we dwell on that for too long, that safety net gets taken away. Or it never was there at the beginning. There are plenty of people around us who will say, don't worry, God won't mind. He loves you so much, he will let you do it anyway. He'll accept us anyway. He'll accept whatever we do. Do not be fooled, because that's the lie of Satan. Paul tells you to not be deceived. Do not be partners with them. If you are a Christian today, then you are a child of light. You're to be like the moon. The moon doesn't produce any light, but it reflects the light of the sun. And you and I are moons. Not to the physical sun, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to reflect his light. And the better we reflect it, the better we live, the better we reflect it. You and I are to be like powerful torches shining in the darkness of a great cavern, exposing all the nooks and crannies, all the little hidey holes that are in there, exposing the evil of our society. Now, Paul's writing here about, from verse 3, about the all types of things of sexual immorality, of greed, of improper, that are improper for God's holy people. And unfortunately, the church gets caught up in some of this stuff. Not by practicing it, but by saying, well, we don't do this, and we're going to condemn everybody else who does. People think that this exposing of evil means that we as a church and individuals need to be standing up and preaching against the wrongs of society. And if you believe that you are called to do this, then God bless you and go for it. But not all of us are blessed with the ability to stand up in public and to call our society out. The way most of us will expose evil is simply to live a life that loves God. At work, for example, when you work hard to please God, others will be conscious of you showing them up. And you may be told to stop simply because they don't want their slackness to be revealed. You can show others how to have fun that doesn't require sexual innuendo. or going out of your way to embarrass people. The church has not been called to be the moral police of our society. It's not our job to go into other people's lives and say, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. It's our job to preach the gospel. It's our job to be witnesses to Jesus Christ. And our witness comes from both our words and our actions. That's our calling. As we speak and practice righteousness, others will get angry at us. Some will thank us, but some will get angry. Some will just walk away. But that's not our problem. We need to let the offense of the gospel, let the gospel be the offender, not us. We need the gospel to be the one that tells people off simply by saying that they need a savior. And we need to do it as gently as we can, as lovingly as we can. So as you practice all goodness and righteousness and truth, you will be fruitful in your life for Christ. But unfortunately, you also experience some people avoiding you because you make them feel guilty, even though you don't preach to them. At my work, no one swears when they know that I'm around. Or if they do, they're very quick to apologize. Not because I tell them that it's bad. It's their own conscience that is working on them. And sometimes we may have to give up an explanation for why we live like we do. But much of the hard work of exposing evil is living a life that loves God, living a life that seeks to please God. That's our calling, to be imitators of God, to be imitators of the Lord Jesus, to love him with every ounce that we have, with everything that makes us his people. One of the Ten Commandments tells us, do not take the Lord's name in vain. And one of the ways that Christians mostly take that in vain is not by crying out using Jesus Christ as a swear word, but simply by saying that we're Christians and then living as one who isn't. That's the way we take, most often how we take the Lord's name in vain. But if you truly love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then you will be his imitator. The question I want to leave with you this morning is, how much do you look like him? How much do you look like him? Do people see a family likeness in your life? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that even these things that have been mentioned here, you can forgive us if we come and confess to you. We pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may work at being imitators of you, that we may work at being lights in this dark world, reflecting your love and your grace and your mercy, your kindness, and your truth. Father, do pray that you would be with us this week as we go from this place and we seek to glorify you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.